That was Trust in God by Elevation Worship. Such an incredible song. And so welcome. You're listening to Impact 103. I'm Charlene Saker, and I'm going to be keeping you company today between 11 and 1. And we've got a special guest joining me between 12 and 1. So I'm going to introduce you to her a bit later and just explain who she is. But first, we are going to just get some encouragement. Isabel has been sharing some scripture, and so she has a show called, or a little segment called, Feeding the Flock. So we're so excited to hear from Isabel next, so listen out for that in a moment. But first, here is Just Like Jesus by One House Worship.
Good morning. I trust it's a marvelous Monday morning and not a mad Monday morning. Last week I dived right in, so eager to share with you the revelation that changed my life. But then I realized, in order for us to receive anything from God, we must know and believe that He loves us. It was very hard for me to believe that the Lord loves me. My dad passed away 3 months after my 9th birthday, and it felt like my whole world came to a standstill. For years after that, I got these nightmares of him being gone, and then I just find him, and as I find him in a hospital or something, then as I find him, he dies. So it was really bad for me, and that feeling of abandonment became a real problem for me. It took me years to believe that my Heavenly Father will not abandon me and that He wants to take care of me. By His love and kindness, He slowly convinced me that He is for me and not against me, and that He will never leave me nor forsake me. One morning I woke up and I had this anxious feeling. What if Jesus does not love me like the Father does? What if He just loves me because the Father told Him to love me? I know it sounds ridiculous, but that is exactly how I felt, and it gripped my heart with fear. Later that day, I was just paging through my Bible, not particularly looking for any scripture or anything. But then I saw these words in John 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. I could feel how the Lord Jesus spoke to me personally with these words. He did not take any of my nonsense. He just spoke straight to the point. Now, I prefer to share scripture, but I hope you don't mind if I share a spiritual dream I had. I did not have many of these spiritual dreams yet, only about four, exactly four. I dreamt I had a whole bunch of tablets in my hands. Now, I don't like taking tablets at all. It's just a personal thing. But I wanted to know what these tablets were for. In my dream, someone told me to give it to my son. And I thought, there is no way I will give it to him, not knowing what this is. I walked up to an older man in a white coat, like a pharmacist. I asked him if he could tell me what the tablets were for. He just glanced at it and said, no, not very friendly. But he said, go ask that man there, and he pointed in a direction. I looked up, and there was a very handsome young man, under a gazebo, tall, and with a brown leather jacket on. I thought to myself, oh wow, he is way out of my league. I do not even think he will talk to me. But I approached him anyway. I said, sir, can you please tell me what these tablets are for? At that point, the tablets were in a pill container with a name written on it. He looked at me and said to me, you have spelled the name wrong. I just said, it's phonetically okay. Then he asked me, why did you never go and study? I replied, I don't know. He looked at me and asked me, do you want to, or do you just want to eat with me? At that moment, I knew it was Jesus, and that he and the way he looked at me and asked me made me realize that he is in love with me. You know, like that very first time you realize that the person you secretly admire also likes you. It was like that, just 1,000 times more intense. When I woke up, I told the Lord, I want to eat with you. Please, Lord, give me fresh bread from heaven. Sit with me, break it for me, and feed me. Before you think I'm strange, go read the book of Song of Solomon's for yourself. According to 1 Kings 4:32, Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. Yet the Lord chose this one, this song to be recorded for us, to show us how he feels about us. The Lord is really in love with all of us. So in love that he came down and gave himself in our place. I pray that you will allow him to pour out his love in you and on you, that you will abandon yourself in his perfect love for you, that you will believe that he will do anything for you just because he loves you, and that you will receive freely every blessing that he has in store for you. Until next time, it's Isabel reminding you that the Lord is your righteousness.
Welcome back. You are listening to Impact 103. Thanks, Isabel, for sharing just that incredible dream and your story and just how it applies to all our lives, really, and how Jesus loves us. So I'm Charlene Saker, and the show is Restoring Hope. And so if you listened last week, you'll know that we are doing a series called Messy Motherhood. And so if you are not a mother per se, if you are maybe a father or a caregiver for a child, I think this applies to so many different forms. And that is precisely what we're talking about today. I've got a really, really special guest joining me between 12 and 1 today. And her name is Wendy Rind. She used to be a Waterston, and some of you might know the Waterston family, who just such an incredible family and just a picture of God's grace and goodness, and just it's just been such a privilege to have her in our lives. She has been running a preschool for the last 30 years, and what we're going to be talking about today is how motherhood comes in many different forms. Now, some of you listening might you know, when you hear messy motherhood, you might switch off, but today's conversation is for you. If you haven't necessarily had a biological child of your own, maybe you have been grieving the fact that motherhood hasn't looked the way that you had imagined. So really tune in between 12 and 1 as I chat to Wendy, because I think her story is just so beautiful, and the way that she's trusted God and how he has really fulfilled all her dreams in ways that she might not have thought he would. And I think that is really the point. And I want to chat a bit before my chat with Wendy at 12. I want to chat this morning about idealism in motherhood. And obviously, it is normal for us to dream and to want certain things in our lives, but sometimes it just doesn't play out that way. And I shared last week about how, you know, I thought that pregnancy and baby years and all of those things would just go a certain way. I thought I would have capacity to be a stay-at-home mom forever and maybe have 5 kids and all those things. And how I've had to realize that idealism was actually making me not be present and not enjoy this life that I have. And so I want to chat about that. Is idealism something you struggle with in motherhood? Is, you know, this idea of it needing to play out a certain way? And do you feel like somehow you've been robbed from the dream? Why don't you listen and be a part of the conversation? I think it's important to talk about these things because we need to make peace with the lives we have versus the lives that we thought we would have, and really just acknowledge the fact that God knows best for us, and all of these things that are happening is part of our character formation. So stay tuned while we discuss this today. So I can't find the quote, but I heard something before where it said that I was a much better parent to my hypothetical children before I had actual children. And it just makes me laugh because it really is true. Like, this is where our idealism starts. It starts long before we actually have children. We kind of have this idea that we look at other people and how they're parenting, and I'm like, wow, I'll never let my kids watch so much TV, and I'll never allow my kid to throw such a huge tantrum in the shops. You know, we make these sweeping statements, and then we become parents and we realize, oh my goodness, I don't know as much as I thought I did, and I have this human that has their own complex personality, complex emotions, and I have to try and shape this person who already comes with certain presets. And so I realized, because I kind of thought in the beginning of my parenting journey that my kid is a blank slate and I can shape them into whatever I want. And then my second child came along and I realized that's not exactly true. Some kids are compliant and you can shape them. But with my second child, I was really humbled in a lot of ways. And I think what we need to realize as parents is that there is no way to do this perfectly. We don't have all the answers, and we are growing as our children are growing too. We're growing with them. And so what I'm realizing is that I need to hold this loosely. I need to really, and this is where walking with the Spirit, you know, being, just Spirit-led and asking Jesus for wisdom is so important, because we don't have all the answers. And I'm quite certain that if your children are adults, that they're not going to look back, you know, when they become parents themselves, they're not going to look back and say, you did a terrible job at parenting. They're going to want to know if you acknowledge that you did your best, and that you actually didn't have all the answers. And I think humility in our parenting journey is way more important. And sometimes it's hard, because we don't want to admit that we are not doing it perfectly. But that humility is also modeling to our children what it looks like to be honest about the fact that we're human, and that we don't always have the answers, that we need to turn to God to have the answers. We are not God in our children's lives. And so that is really being quite freeing for me, is that I don't have to be everything to my kids, because I couldn't possibly be. That I need to take care of them as best I can, but ultimately, my job is to point them to the Father. Ultimately, I need to point them to a perfect Father who is just not me or my husband. And so I think I want to kind of just end off with this quote, saying that it's actually Joel Churchill. I think it's Winston Churchill's wife. But she says, "There's no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one." And I love that, because it really is so true. There's a lot of things we can do to be good parents, but perfection is just impossible. And so we're gonna chat soon. Remember, we've got Wendy Waterston, or Wendy Rand now, sorry, joining us between 12 and 1. So don't go anywhere. That's going to be such a good chat. But we're going to kind of end off this portion of the conversation in a moment. Futures Calling by Apollo Limited. So we are going to have our news soon, but I just want to finish off this chat and just build a foundation for my conversation with Wendy between 12 and 1. And so we've spoken about motherhood being messy, and motherhood really takes many different forms. And really, you know, we talk about idealism as well, and the idea of what we thought motherhood would look like. We don't really have control over, you know, at what age we would get married, or if you would struggle with infertility. And I've actually also got an amazing interview with someone tomorrow who struggled with infertility for many years, and you know, how her family was grown in just such an incredible, miraculous way. And I hope that, one, if you do have kids and you feel like you're failing, you feel like you're not doing a good enough job, I want you to feel encouraged that really all you need to do is do your best. God loves your kids way more than you do. And then the second thing is that if you've never been able to have children, maybe you struggled with infertility, maybe you have, you know, you never had children, never got married, I want you to feel encouraged after this conversation between 12 and 1 that motherhood takes many different forms. I remember after our son was born, and he was in the NICU for 6 weeks, and I was so worried about, you know, not being able to bond with him. And I felt like I had missed out on those crucial weeks. And even though I know on a psychological level that kind of does cause real attachment issues, I read an article and it was talking about how moms who've adopted, that they were able to build a connection and bond with their children. And that encouraged me so much. And the reason I'm telling you that story is because what I realized is that no matter how messy the start is to your story, no matter how it is not how you pictured it, God redeems, God restores, and it doesn't look like what we wanted it to, but it is the best thing for us. And so Wendy Rind, who used to be a Waterston, she got married last year, she's going to be chatting to us about, you know, just her road in motherhood, and even though it doesn't include having biological children, she has mothered in so many different ways. And I just think she's such an incredible example of just seeing God's hand and being at peace with God's plan for your life. And so I'm so excited to be chatting with her. So really, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for that. And I want to just read a quote that I thought was quite funny, but also just true. It's like, if parenthood came with a GPS, it would mostly just say recalculating. I think that's so funny, but it's true, because really it is just constantly recalculating. And again, I want to repeat that's why it's so important to walk with Jesus, to do it in partnership with him, to trust him for wisdom along the way. And so we're going to listen to Satisfied by Evie McKinney now, but I want you to really not go anywhere as I chat with Wendy between 12 and 1. It's going to be such an incredible conversation. And yeah, I'm so looking forward to having her here. We all have stories of loss, suffering, pain, and waiting, but there are also many stories of the goodness and kindness of God. Stories of courage, stories of hope. Restoring Hope is about being reminded that we are not alone and that there is freedom on the other side of our waiting. Psalm 130 verse 7, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. I'm your host, Charlene Saker. Let's go on this journey together. Welcome back. You're listening to Impact 103, and I have such a special guest in studio. I've been raving about her between 11 and 12, but Wendy Rind, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So many people might know her, and I know there's a lot of your school children's parents listening right now. So Wendy has owned and run Patches Play School for the last 30 years. Hey, last year was 30.
Yeah, 31 years.
That's crazy. So she's got a preschool, and so both my children actually went and are going to Patches Play School, and it's such a home environment, and I think it's really just cozy. Yeah, it's cozy, and it's just been the most amazing safe place where my kids have been taught about Jesus. And so we're talking about messy motherhood this month, and Wendy's here because she's just got such an incredible story of how God his hand has been in her life, and it hasn't looked like she maybe thought it would, or it didn't play out in exactly the way she thought it would, but God has just really been so good to her, and I think her story is so beautiful. So Wendy, can you tell us a little bit about your story, introduce us to yourself?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. I was quite surprised to be asked to talk about messy motherhood and kind of, you know, non-traditional motherhood, but just a little bit about my background and my story. I was raised by two beautiful, loving, encouraging, supportive parents, Keith and Carol, in a very close family with two precious older brothers, Grant and Glenn. And we were a very happy family, spending Sundays, you know, listening to Pop Shop's Top 20. This is way before your time.
Yeah, no idea what that is.
So don't worry.
Cool.
But the oldies out there will know, watching Chips on TV. But I spent most of my childhood not even thinking of God or being aware of him until at the end of primary school. I remember how God really grabbed a hold of my heart, and I remember tangibly experiencing his abounding and overwhelming and unconditional love for me. And I realized that he had given me this abundant life to live now, not, you know, one day when I die, mm-hmm. but to live this beautiful, abundant life now. Mm-hmm. And so that was the start of my journey of living life loved, living from that place. And we grew up on a small holding with lots of space, but very little money. My parents were entrepreneurs and self-employed, so we lived each day trusting God for our daily bread, because we never knew where the next bit of money would come from, you know?
Yeah.
And they raised us with such support and love and encouragement that I felt that I could do anything. Yeah. They really, you know, just built me up and made me confident to to know that I'm loved. If I failed, if I tried something and it didn't work and it failed, I could always come back to them, you know. Mm. Parents who just encourage and love and, you know, support.
Yeah.
And so at 19, while I was studying part-time, I opened my little preschool because I just loved little ones. I loved children. I grew up loving children, playing dolls until I was 12. I mean, mm-hmm. the friends at school would laugh at me because all I wanted to do was babysit.
Yeah.
Babysit kids. So I went around visiting and checking out preschools all over Pretoria and took nuggets and methods of teaching little ones. And then with God's absolute insight and guidance, I started this little experiential learning through play preschool called Patches. And it's been going for 31 years,
that is,
as you said. And it's been amazing. My absolute passion and mission field, and families have come through there over the years that I've just, you know, grown with and been blessed by, and hopefully it's been a blessing to the community.
It has. I mean, I think that's the thing is, I know, like you with my daughter, you had like a little book, and so you've been teaching them how to actually have quiet times with God, and so yeah. they draw little pictures, whatever God's saying to them, and that's been so special because it's not just an educational system organization. Yeah. It's really just you sharing that love for Jesus. And I mean, 30 years later, and you still speak with so much passion about it. Yeah. So we're going to carry on with our conversation in a moment. Wendy still has a lot more to share. So we're back here with Wendy, and we're chatting about motherhood, messy motherhood, and she was telling us her story. So she's owned Patches Play School for the last 31 years almost. And so we're talking about how motherhood comes in many different forms. So what does motherhood look like for you?
Well, motherhood looks very different to the normal traditional motherhood. And it looks very different to what I imagined it to look like. I mean, I grew up with these ideals and visions of how I was going to be the perfect mother and blah, 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 and have kids and, you know, bring them to my school and keep them be able to go and watch their sports in the afternoon and spend my afternoons with them. And I mean, it just didn't turn out like that. It didn't look like that. And I wanted 6 kids. I was convinced I was going to have 6 kids. So go big or go home, you know, kind of thing. And I waited and I waited and I waited for a husband, and I was getting older. And I thought, while I'm waiting, I'm going to have the most beautifully fun, full and content season of singleness.
Mm.
I just decided I had to make a decision because otherwise you're stuck in a bit of a hole.
Yeah.
And it was a long season of singleness. But in that season, I mothered and I got to love and mother children that came through my school doors each day. And I realized I didn't need to give birth to them to be able to love them.
Sure.
And to be a mother to them, and a non-traditional mother to them.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, it became so real to me that we are children of God, adopted into his family, and he loves us so much. How much more can I love the children he brings across my path?
Sure.
And there were days in the single season when I wondered and I wrestled with God's reasoning for leaving it so long and making me wait for a husband. And but then I always came back to the place where I rested in the absolute deep knowing and confident trust in a good father, a God that loves me, is besotted about me, a God that I can trust to know what's best for me. Who wants the best for me.
Yeah.
You know, we don't often remember that he actually wants the best for us.
Yeah.
And in a God that knows me better than I know myself.
Mm.
And I rested in that. I was content in that, that a God that loves me has the best in store for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't look, you know, it didn't look like what I thought the best was.
Yeah.
or the best would be. But looking back now, you know, always in hindsight, yeah. I see how God had a beautiful plan and a purpose for my singleness.
Yeah.
That was far bigger than what I could imagine or wish for. And so in my singleness, I was able to help and be available to my brother and his kids after losing their beautiful mom, Marika. And I was single. I was available. I wasn't, you know, I didn't have other responsibilities. And I was practiced in loving as a non-traditional mother.
Yeah.
And I was able to easily step into a support role and continue being the auntie mom to their three kids.
Yeah.
And so that for me was a very special time. And I realized, oh, okay, this is why God kept me, you know, all those years.
Yeah.
And then after waiting, after seeing God's purpose unfold in front of me, and after that time of helping out and stepping into that space, at the ripe old age of 48 years old, I met and married the most precious gift of a man, Stuart. And we've been married for a year. You know, I didn't have other responsibilities, and I was practiced in loving as a non-traditional mother.
Yeah.
And I was able to easily step into a support role and continue being the auntie mom to their three kids.
Yeah.
And so that for me was a very special time. And I realized, oh, okay, this is why God kept me, you know, all those years.
Yeah.
And then after waiting, after seeing God's purpose unfold in front of me, and after that time of helping out and stepping into that space, at the ripe old age of 48 years old, I met and married the most precious gift of a man, Stuart. And we've been married for a year and a half.
Year and a half.
It's been a year and a half. And I got the gift of inheriting three more grown children.
Yeah.
And the most beautiful daughter-in-law. And for me, that has just been an absolute blessing.
Yeah.
To get to have another family.
Yeah.
And I thank God for keeping him to this, you know, and waiting.
Yeah.
And the wait was so worth it.
Yeah. Wow. Your story. I know it, but it still just gets me emotional because I just, you know, I think a lot of people, like you say, they have this idea of how things will play out. But I think whether we want to admit it or not, we, you know, we can choose to see God's hand in our lives, and
for
we
sure.
can choose to see that he's good. And so, you know, that thing of not going into the pit, not going into the hole, not focusing on what you don't have, but focusing on what is around you. And it's so encouraging, even for me, who's kind of in a sense grieving that two kids is the max of my capacity. You know, I also thought maybe I'd have five, six kids. And yeah, it's just realizing that sometimes God allows things to play out a certain way so that we are more available for other things, and we just don't know the bigger picture.
Yeah.
But we're going to chat about just that grieving process of letting go of what you thought would be the ideal. Giants by Colton Dixon. So we're still chatting to Wendy. And so I was curious, was there a grieving process for you, like letting go of this ideal, maybe letting go of how motherhood you thought motherhood would look like, and did you have to make peace with a story playing out differently?
You know, what I realized very early on in my singleness was I had to learn and decide to just have confidence in God and who he was, and have a confident trust in a big God who loves me hugely and lavishly, and who is for me, and who is a good father that gives good gifts to his children, and that I can be totally persuaded which is the meaning of faith, actually, is persuaded. Mm. I can be totally persuaded and have faith that he knows what he's doing in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I think as grown-ups, we are so arrogant to think that we are in control of our purpose and our plan that he has for us.
Yeah.
And it's so much bigger. His plan and purpose is so much bigger than what we can think. And my desires looked different and came in different packages. And God gave me 6 nephews and nieces.
Yeah.
So I have had the 6 children, and I've got 3 more added on there and a daughter-in-law to care for.
Yeah.
But what really got me through, you know, just the difference and the unconventional way of how my life turned out was Psalm 37, verse 4.
Mm.
And that's always been my scripture. And most of the time it's taken out of context and people think, oh, okay, if I just delight in the Lord, he will give me everything that I want.
Yeah.
And but if you see the, you know, before and after, it gives you a more accurate and a fuller picture of that scripture. It speaks about trust in the Lord.
Mm.
It speaks about do good. It speaks about feed on his faithfulness and his steadfastness and his firmness and his reliability. And it speaks about dwelling, settle down. Mm. You know, be settled in your heart. Be content.
Yeah.
And delight yourself in the Lord. And that delight is such a lovely meaning. It means live in enjoyment.
Yeah.
It also means be soft and pliable, teachable and moldable in his hands.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if you see yourself in his hand and he's molding you and you are safe.
Yeah.
Then his desires become your desires. And his will becomes your will, and his ways become your ways, and his thoughts become your thoughts.
Yeah.
So it's, and then, yes, those fleshly desires, they will rise up. But obviously, it says throughout Scripture, you know, lay those aside.
Yeah.
Lay your flesh aside. Die to your flesh daily.
Yeah.
And walk in the Spirit. And that's how he wants us to live.
Yeah.
Is to walk in that Spirit daily, in his Spirit daily. And then we will have his desires and his will and his way.
Yeah.
And then we will live that full life that he's given us.
Yeah.
So being content in a big God is definitely what I have realized and learned.
Yeah, I think what's so beautiful, and we deal with this a bit in my coaching as well, is that, you know, we can have a belief that is negative about our lives, and then we get caught in that spiral, in that vicious cycle of thinking, you know, if you think about what you don't have, you just become more and more kind of depressed. But if you focus on what you do have, then you start to just enjoy your life more, and you kind of producing more joy. And I see that so evident in your life, is that you've chosen to delight in God and chosen to believe that he is enough for you, that actually your life is so full. And it's really a matter of, are you willing to see it or not? Are you willing to see God's hand? Because it's there.
Yeah.
But, you know, and even if we're talking about this role of mothering, like, there are people to mother around you, but are you willing to actually see that?
Yeah, and take those opportunities.
Yeah, so we're going to kind of conclude this conversation soon, and Wendy's just going to share a bit more. We're really enjoying just your wisdom and your life experience. So, Wendy, why don't you share with us, you know, we've spoken a lot about what God has shown you through this journey, but can you maybe just share something? What did God show you through your life? And, you know, what promise have you maybe held on to?
Well, that Psalm 37 was just incredible for me.
Yeah.
But I just found out who God was.
Yeah.
And I searched him out and his character. Because it's no use, you know, not knowing someone who you are living for.
Yeah.
So if I could know God and know his deep love for me and live life loved, living from that place of being fully and wholly loved and adored, then we can live out our life abundantly and live life loved.
Yeah.
That's been my saying lately, is just live life loved.
Yeah.
From that place.
That's beautiful. Live life loved. That can be a bit of a tongue twister, but I think it's just, I think that's the thing. Like, and you know, we're going to conclude this conversation soon, but for me, that's kind of the overarching thing with motherhood, no matter what it looks like for you, is that, you know, God falls in the cracks. Because he loves us, like his love covers everything. Mm. And I think for me, I realize, like, no matter how much I feel like an imperfect mom and I feel like I'm, you know, not doing a great job or it's just not how I thought it would, God's love covers it all. For and sure. I just need to live in a space of being loved. Live life loved.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Andy. We're going to say goodbye to you in a moment. I'm not ready to say goodbye yet.
Me neither. Not ready. What a day that will be, when my Jesus face I finally
see. Oh, what a day that will be. So we are going to have to say goodbye to Andy now. And I'm just so encouraged by just your positive attitude, by your just keeping your eyes on Jesus and just being, you know, holding things loosely, being open to however, whatever God has in store for you.
Yeah, for sure. And thank you. It's been such an absolute privilege. Mm. And I just hope that my little story has encouraged someone.
Yeah. And I want to also say thank you for your vulnerability and honesty. And I think that's really the whole goal of this show, Restoring Hope, is that we can have honest conversations. Mm. Because, you know, it doesn't help we don't go to those deep spaces and really just talk about things that are real to so many. And so I appreciate you just being open and vulnerable.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Thank you.
So we are at the end of this show, Restoring Hope. But do tune in tomorrow between 9:30 and 11 because I have a really special guest as well tomorrow, another special guest. This month is full of special guests. I've got Genevieve Myberg that's going to be joining us. She is a mom to four, but the way she became a mom is absolutely miraculous and incredible. And so I can't wait for you to hear my conversation with her. So really, don't forget to join that conversation tomorrow between 9:30 and 11. But from me, goodbye and have an amazing day. Zinclair is going to be with you between 1 and 2 and then Pinky a bit later between 2 and 4. Have an amazing day further. Here's Fear Not by Riley Clemens. Fear not the water, dread not.